5, Zhang v. Holder.
May please court. My name is Guo Pingzu. I'm the attorney for the petitioner, Mr. Zhang. Your Honor, this case is submitted prior to Real ID Act. I just want to mention this because in Pro ID Act case, the corroborative evidence is non-mandatory. Another thing is I have to mention here is in our brief we made a mistake.
In your brief, what?
In our brief, we made a mistake.
Oh.
In our research, we just want the court to know this. Also, this case, this research error is not crucial because, in any way, the seventh, this honorable court will still use the substantial evidence standard to review the immigration judge's adverse credible determination. Your Honor, the petitioner in this case is a 35 years old male and entered the United States with assistance of a smuggler because he tried to escape from the Chinese government's persecution. The petitioner married in the 1996, underage. It's in the traditional ceremony, and a year later, the daughter was born, and because of that, he did not try to get a marriage license from the Chinese government. About 2 years later, and he got another child born. So he's more afraid of to get a marriage license from the Chinese government. It's in the year of 2000, and a frequent customer of his. One more thing is, in 1999, and the petitioner opened a fast food restaurant, and the business was good. One of our customers claimed that he was the government official, could get him a marriage license. Then he paid some money to this guy and trying to get a marriage license. Because the marriage license is crucial for him, and he can get all the benefit for the child, for his children. But to his surprise, this person was arrested by government for unknown reason.
Wasn't related to this, and his arrest was not related to some conspiracy or whatever with your client?
Yes, because the judge was questioning for my client, saying that if you get a marriage license, all the question, all the problem can be resolved. So that's why the facts have to show that because he could not get a marriage license, he trying to get somebody to get him a license to resolve the problem, but he can't because this person was arrested.
Well, this person was going to get him a marriage license somehow dodging the law. Is that what it was going to be?
Excuse me?
He was going to be working around whatever the law was.
Yes.
So he was going to be able to go behind the scenes and get a marriage license.
That's right.
Yeah, and then if he gets arrested for something else, I assume unrelated to this.
Yeah, the evidence or the testimony didn't show anything.
So now he wants to get out of town.
The next thing is that somehow the family planning office know about this and went to his restaurant. At that time, I think the time is 2000, August 23rd. During the night, he was working in the restaurant, and he saw a lot of people come in with the car and with the stuff in their hands. And knocked the door, he was just ran away. He ran away, he went home, talked to his wife, said, okay, somebody is coming for us. Just run away. So he and his wife escaped. And according to the testimony of my client, that they just wrecked the restaurant, took everything, and the restaurant was closed. And the key issue here is that the inconsistency between my client testimony and a statement and affidavit from the wife. My client testified that the restaurants were rude and the restaurant has to be closed for confiscated. But in the statement, the wife's statement affidavit, saying that, simply saying that that we would not do anything but close the restaurant. The immigration judge think this is a major inconsistency and made an adverse credibility determination against my client. But I would like to direct the court attention to the statement of the wife. It's on the administrative record, it's 254 pages. I just quote it. At that time, we operated fast food restaurant and the business was rather hot. Now, all of a sudden, on the night of August 23rd, 2000, when I was making my son go to the sleep, I heard a short and sharp knocks on my door. When I opened the door, I saw my husband being covered with sweat, panting. He said to me, I'm being wanted by the government. I have to leave you immediately for some days. You have to leave, hide somewhere, leave two kids to my parents. Then on and said, we could not do anything but close the restaurant. But for the substantial evidence standard is that the court will not affirm if the decision is supported by reasonable, substantial, probative evidence on the record as a whole. But even if we look the affidavit from the wife, we cannot just simply think that they closed the restaurant.
Well, you think it's consistent then?
I think it's a kind of consistent, maybe some omission in there. The restaurant was hot. I don't think my client would close the restaurant without any reason. Also, the wife was described very clearly that what happened on that night.
So I assume that he ran, and then but there were two children. So
yes, the children were left behind.
So when the authorities or whoever they are show up, he took off.
Yes.
What did she do?
Oh, he took it off. He told his wife, leave the children to their parents. The wife also left.
Will she get out the same time, or did she?
The same time. The same
so
day.
They all left. And
they all left.
Basically,
yes.
Abandoned the place.
That's right.
I see. Took the kids with her.
Yes.
She went. He went one way. She went another.
Yes. Yeah.
And now he's been over here how long?
He was here Let me see. It's 2004. Yes.
Long
about
time.
About 8 years.
Yeah.
It's our time. And also, other issue is minor, as my understanding. One is that the judge is saying my client did not give the adequate reason for not getting a marriage license. But the fact is here, he cannot get a marriage license because he was married underage. He has when he reached age 21, he had one child, but it's not allowed. But on the 2000, he has two children. So I think my client gave an adequate reason to explain why he could not get a marriage license. Secondly, is that the country report. The immigrant judge cited the country report, but missed one paragraph. I just want direct attention of this court. It says that penalties for violation of the law are strict, leaving some women little but abort pregnancy. In addition, implementation of a policy by the local officials resulted in serious violation of human rights. Records of forced sterilization and abortions in violation of national law continue to be documented in the rural area. My client is living in the rural area at that time. Just one more point is the corroborative evidence. My client did provide lots of evidence, affidavit from his wife, certificate from midwife, certificate from village about his marriage, the final receipt of government, personal photos. I just want to mention this is a case of the prior to Real ID Act. So my client already did enough to support his case. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
Good morning. Good afternoon. May it please the court, my name is Lisa Mornelli. I'm here on behalf of the Attorney General. After arriving in the United States without documentation, Petitioner Jiang filed an asylum application. After full consideration by an immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals, his claim was rejected. Now he comes before this court and must show record evidence compels the conclusion that the agency erred. This petition for review should be denied because the immigration judge, affirmed by the board, cited three specific reasons for finding that Jiang was not telling the truth. First, a material inconsistency between Jiang's testimony and his wife's statement. Second, his failure to corroborate his questionable testimony with a letter from his parents. And third, the fact that record evidence indicated Jiang faced fines and not sterilization by the Chinese government. First, I would like to address that petitioner has now conceded that the correct standard of review for the board was was a clearly erroneous standard of review. Thus, there is no issue that the board applied the correct standard of review. Petitioner has argued that there was not a need for corroborating evidence in his case. However, the immigration judge finding a situation where she did not believe the applicant did question why he did not have a letter from his parents, who was allegedly the only individuals who had any contact with the Chinese officials, where she did not believe he was telling the truth, questioned him why he did not have the letter from his parents with what had happened with the Chinese officials, and then she considered petitioner's explanation why he did not submit the letter, and there the only explanation being that he did not think to submit a letter, she found that this further undermined his claim.
Could you address this inconsistency that the immigration judge relied upon so heavily? It doesn't sound that inconsistent.
When the immigration judge was looking at petitioner's testimony, where at first petitioner testified, she asked him for more detail because she wanted to get an idea of exactly what happened. And petitioner did testify that some individuals came to his restaurant on that night and that he ran away and that he then learned that they had sealed off the restaurant, shut it down, taken everything out of the restaurant. When looking at the wife's statement, there is none of that information. And in fact, petitioner has conceded that there are omissions there in that statement.
She wasn't there at the restaurant, right?
Right. She was not there.
She was back at home with the kids.
Right.
And presumably did not go back to the restaurant to see what the government officials were doing.
From the record, it looks like both petitioner and his wife were relying on other people's statements about what had happened there. Unless what the immigration judge is looking at is that the couple decided themselves to close the restaurant. She looked at the natural reading is that because they were in hiding, they decided to close the restaurant or abandon the restaurant, and she saw that as inconsistent with what petitioner testified that the restaurant was closed down.
What was the benefit of having, if you said it wasn't there, the affidavit from the parents?
The immigration judge specifically asked the petitioner, your parents are the only ones who have had any face-to-face interaction with the Chinese officials allegedly saying that something is going to happen to you. Why don't you have a letter from the parents corroborating that this, in fact, has happened? She wanted some corroboration for any of these events taking place, and the only explanation he gave was that he did not think to submit such a letter.
Want corroboration for the fact that the restaurant was closed down?
No, that would be corroboration, I think, more so that the petitioner testified officials had come to his parents' home on a number of occasions asking for him, saying that he needed to be sterilized.
Nice.
So she wanted some corroboration
that was actually taking place.
That's
what they needed the affidavit about, threatening, because they're, I guess the government's position is that he's more subject to a fine and not sterilization.
The immigration judge, when she was listening to his testimony, looked at the fact that when he had his first child, he was of age, and asked, why is it that you didn't just go get your, at that time, you could go get your marriage registered? And she looked at the country report's evidence and indicated that might be more of what was happening, is that a fine would be imposed. And in fact, the record indicates that he was trying to work out paying a fine for that situation. So confronted with this, the immigration judge did not believe that he was telling the truth. I see that my time is almost up. If there are no further questions, I will conclude that because substantial evidence supports the adverse credibility determination of the immigration judge, the government respectfully requests that the petition for review be denied.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.